about 18 more people after,
18?
After these four.
Mm-hmm. 18 after this?
Yeah. Was there Chris Lopez or Peter Light available? Okay.
All right.
So let's go Jill Severson, Martha Perez, Curtis Walker, and Taj Salomon.
All right. It is now after 11:30. Sorry, it's after 8:30. So really, if your points have already been made, I would encourage you to you can take your name off the list, or you can continue to testify. I think we are Lopez. Is that the first name?
Chris.
Chris.
Could be.
Or
I'm Jill Severson, Martha
sure.
Perez.
Yeah,
Curtis
I think
Walker.
Those two people didn't make it up here.
Okay, we'll begin with
okay.
you.
Okay. So my name is Jill Severson. And I first actually, while I'm up here, even though it's probably not addressing any of you, I just wanted to wish the Muslim city members of the city a happy Eid Mubarak, since I know the month of Ramadan just ended. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to say that. Thank you for hearing my testimony today. I wanted to address something that I think hasn't been addressed completely, which is, so myself, I moved here 23 years ago. And within a few months of my visit here, a man named Mulla Getta Sarah, who was from Ethiopia, was murdered by Nazi skinheads. And so even if people didn't live in Portland at that point, they might remember that. And I mention that because at that time, the result of that was that the Metropolitan Human Rights Commission, I think, in the city actually funded diversity training, trying to get the root of why hate crimes like those happen here. So I think my concern and thinking of speaking towards the three members that we don't know have the support yet of this ordinance. We know, again, I'm concerned about the backlash that might be out there because of the economic times, but I think we need to reach for love. I want to say that what we know in deeper and worse economic times are when hate crimes and incidents of violence escalate. So it's a time especially when we need to come together as a community. And not only, I'm not speaking to you only as members, but really all of us as citizens, we need to come together and do our part as well. So I want to step up my part. Thank you.
Mayor, if you don't mind, I'm a little taken back why this perception has continued to be allowed to exist that Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Saltzman, and Commissioner and I oppose this ordinance. We voted in the budget last year to fund this program unanimously, including Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Saltzman, and myself. The issues that we have not to do with the funding of this program or the setting up of the office. We'll have a discussion after the testimony is over. I think you might be enlightened to hear what the substantive reasons are, but they are not budgetary reasons. And I regret that either two sponsors of this measure haven't pointed out that all five of us have unanimously voted to fund this office.
That's true. All right, Ms. Perez.
Hi, thanks for inviting us. We are Portland, we are one. I'm Martha Perez. I'm a general political activist by night. That basically means I get emails from every single one of the people that you've heard from tonight, and I make my decisions informed from them. And I'm also a former and future political candidate for office as a Native American woman, Spanish-speaking. My day job is Multnomah County Wraparound, where we serve foster children and give them services, the highest risk in our state. That includes disproportionate rates of Native American, African American, and Latino Hispanic. I'm here tonight because, you know, on the job, you still hear racist comments about things, you know, so it's hard to just talk about that. So I hope that the Office of Equity would support, in their own way, a National Poverty Law Center. I think we're breaking the law when we don't provide enough sufficiently certified multi-language interpreters and translators. It's an epidemic, and the Office of Equity can get involved. Let's see. The big point I wanted to make is no provision made in draft ordinance for HRC's future and independence or staffing of the Office of Human Relations and its programs. That's a big point I want to make when I leave tonight. And These are things that the Office of Equity will deal with. Let's see.
And I need you to wrap it up.
Right. Also, the other thing, finally, the final point was, in a time of budget crisis, Multnomah County has an office, has a committee of equity that's dealing with the desire upon managers to hire people of color, but it's hard to do so when we can't get around the mandates and policies. That's a difficulty. I conclude my... Oh, just consider the possibility the equity office would bring in additional revenue or resources, because we'll set a national example for what we need to do in terms of equity. So, Mayor Sam, when you retire, go out with a bang, not with a whimper. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Hi. Welcome.
Hi. I'm taking Taj Suleiman's place as Center for Intercultural Organizing. My name is Lisa Reed Guarnero. I'm with the Center for Intercultural Organizing as board president. And I just want to say, you know, the City of Roses uses the tagline, "The City That Works." But the question is, does Portland really work for all Portlanders, including people of color, immigrants, and refugees? As well as LGBTQ and people with disabilities. Remember that Portland is only as strong as our weakest link. So you've already heard much compelling testimony, and I please ask you to consider it heavily. It's important to lead this office with race and ethnicity as the umbrella over all the factors of inequities and disparities in Portland. People of color and immigrants and refugees who are LGBTQ, for instance, or have disabilities are hit with a double, triple, or quadruple whammy when you consider age and language barriers. The Office of Equity would be an investment in Portland, as you've heard before, and investing in our human capital now will ensure that the livability and quality of life will reach all Portlanders in the future, and it's less costly to prevent a crisis than to create one. And I just want to say that, you know, it's really imperative that if you really believe that that everyone in the city should have a good quality of life and have access, that we need to make sure that everybody votes yes on this initiative. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Curtis Walker, and I'm the director of Impetus Arts. We break barriers to the arts. I'm here to support a city that works towards human rights. I'm here to ask that we continue to focus on race and ethnicity and disability. I also would like to see language that includes the deaf community added to the working version we have now. We deserve not only work, but work that is rich in content and fulfilling. We deserve housing that's not just substandard, but housing that is healthy, safe, accessible, functional, and beautiful. We deserve access to all community events and spaces. Access means not just physical access, but social and cultural access. ASL is the third most common spoken language, and yet linguistically, socially, and culturally deaf people and people of color and disabled people are continually left out. I'm trying to lump a bunch of stuff together all at once to squeeze it in a minute. I've been involved with the intergroup dialogues, and I would like to suggest that continue. Lastly, I would also like to mention that trans violence is something that needs to be addressed. As a trans person, I've received many sources of violence on the streets of Portland, and I choose not to take public transportation or walk on Portland streets because of my own safety. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Next four are Andre Baugh, Adam Chris, Karen Reddington, and Mary Zarnecki. And then following them will be Sam Sachs, Caitlin Word, Jim Jackson, and Amy Anderson.
Chair Baugh, welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome back. Please begin. Or two more, please.
Go ahead. Go with Mary Zarnecki, Sam Sachs.
Okay, another person.
And let's go with Caitlin Word.
Caitlin Word.
Okay.
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 Jim Jackson.
Jim Jackson.
Thank you. Amy Anderson.
Please come forward.
And then they'll be followed by Donna Hand, Alberto Moreno, Mike D., and Caleb.
Chair Baugh.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Andre Baugh, I am a small business owner. I'm also serve as the chair of the Plains Sustainability Commission, but tonight I speak to you as a community member. As you might guess, I totally support the Office of Equity and the proposed work plan, and I offer that support not only on my behalf, but on the behalf of all of the community members that serve on the Portland Planning Sustainability Commission from that standpoint. The support is based upon the fact that equity is a centerpiece for the Portland Plan, which you'll be seeing soon. And that centerpiece of equity is going to permeate, as you will see, into all of the partners, which are over 30, all of the agencies, the bureaus. It has standards and accountability for all of Portland. It's a broad umbrella, and it's something that is going to be Portland for the next 25 years if in early 2012 you adopt the Portland Plan. So the Office of Equity then becomes the perfect connection for implementation of planning action, and that action is something that you will see in the Portland Plan in the future. So thank you for your support.
My name is Sam Sachs, and Mayor, Commissioners, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'll make this quick. I support the Office of Equity. I am a little different than some. I am an able-bodied white male who lives in the city, and I live in a world of privilege, to be quite frank. I don't have a lot of the worries and concerns that many people in this room have, but I do care about this city and this community, and I want everyone to have the same privileges and quality of life that I have. So I'm not really here to give testimony or research. I'm here to bear witness to some of the inequalities that I've seen in our community, and I think that inequality for one is inequality for all of us. I appreciate the fact that you've taken this under advisement, and you're looking at considering making this office a reality. I think it's an easy choice to make. You've heard great testimony tonight, and I just would ask that when you look at this, that you look at it not through your eyes, but through their eyes, the people that are here. Lastly, I just want to say that it's never too late to do the right thing, and, you know, 20 years from now, people won't remember what I had to say or many people here, but they will remember the five people in front who made the right choice, and that will be your lasting legacy of moving Portland forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. Welcome. Thanks for waiting.
No problem. Thanks for staying up. My name is Adam Quist, and since moving to Portland from New York in 2006, I've had the opportunity to join the Commission on Disability, which I'm a commissioner on. I've also been able to serve on various, you know, committees that have looked at the inequalities and inequities of persons with disabilities. And one of the things that I think, you know, I really support this initiative of the Office of Equity, but also I really encourage that the talk is really followed by action. I've been on a lot of committees so far where there has been a lot of talk about, well, this is what we have to do, this is what we have to do. And it's important to talk, it's important to listen, but at some point it's also important to take action on a certain situation. So I'm hoping, I've been listening to a bunch of testimony tonight, and I've been listening to people talk about what's happened in the past and what should happen in the future. My hope is that with this Office of Equity, we really start to focus on what we will do, but also take action as opposed to just talking about it and understanding it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Amy Anderson, and I'm on the Portland Commission on Disabilities. I also work for the Multnomah County Jail. I've been a volunteer there for 13 years. And if anyone has seen inequity and I call it madness, it would be me. Because as an individual who suffered the inequity of a person with disabilities at my job, lost my job after 21 years because of my disability, I've come to the conclusion that what we're looking at is we're looking at a value system that no longer exists the way it was when I grew up. There was a value system that said when you worked to the maximum of your level of degree, not the minimum. Sometimes people get in positions and they forget about the standards about raising the bar, about setting things higher at a higher mark so others can follow us. Most of the children today that I work with have no goals, no desires, no aspirations, because they do not see leadership leading in a role with values. We must relook at the reasons why we're so afraid to look at how to correct ourselves. I was privy to witness a diagram with the Safer PDX program that I'm working on with Dr. Bill Nunley, and I was in shock that at this level of advancement in our society, we are at such a base level of performance and understanding how to correct ourselves without taking it personally. So we need to get better at learning how to look at what the facts are, what the truths are, eliminating the myths around who our friends are, and look at it more of a business perspective instead of a personal perspective. And that's kind of what I've experienced sitting on about 15 different committees now, is I keep asking the same question. Where is everybody else at the table? And I'm realizing it's based on personal emotion and feeling about how you value the next person who's different than you.
Thank you. I'm sorry we're out of
time.
No
problem.
Appreciate your comments. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Next are Mary Zarnecki. Was there a Karen Reddington? Oh, thank you, Karen. And I believe it's Doralyn Hand. Alberto Marino. Mike D. Caleb. Oh, there's Mike. Thanks. Then left is Caleb Warner and Doretta Schrock.
Ms. Schrock.
Caleb or Warner?
Would you like to begin?
Sure. My name is Karen Reddington. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I happen to be a citizen of the neighboring city of Beaverton, and I want you to know that I support the Office of Equity. We in Beaverton are also working on this issue on a little smaller scale. I think of Portland as sort of our big sister, but I know that the mayor and city council are wrestling with this issue as well. I also happen to be on the city's Human Rights Advisory Commission, and I think that's all I have to say, but I'm very encouraged. If I could walk into every room and see the panoramic, you know, view of people, color, abilities, ages, that would be a wonderful thing to see, and it shouldn't be unusual.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thanks so much for taking the time to come.
Absolutely.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. My name is Mary Zarnecki. I live in Northwest Portland, and I grew up in East Portland, Northeast Portland, so I'm a both-sider. And what I really am here to talk about is I've been really active in terms of Portland's livability issues in terms of architecture and urbanism. And when I want to tell you that when Deputy Secretary Sims, one of the foremost nation's foremost leaders on sustainability and racial justice, came to Portland on the 40th anniversary of Earth Day, April 23rd, 2010. I was struck by his rich cultural heritage and a belief that every one should have a rich and vibrant life. And I was able to share some articles about livability, and it was very meaningful to me. What I think we're missing, and this is just a little piece of the pie, is that we're not talking about mixed income housing. And I think we talk about mixed neighborhoods, but actual buildings in which you have a mixture of people. I think the anonymity of having disabilities or differences should be an important issue. I think we should blend in easily. It's been a pet peeve of mine for a long time. My husband's been in affordable housing for the state for 10 years. I know these issues, and I think that's a hard issue, but I'm starting to hear developers and other people that are interested. So just in closing, I want to thank Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fritz for this creation of the Office of Equity. I think that your leadership on this will help enrich the lives of all of Portlanders, and I think is an invaluable piece informing equity for all of Portland. In closing, everything that, and this is a quote, everything that we see is a shadow cast by that which we do not see, Martin Luther King.
Thank you. And again, thanks for your patience. Welcome back.
Howdy. Mike D., 133 Northwest 6th Avenue. Howdy. Good to see all commissioners. Glad to be back. I had a question, not a question. I guess I would start off by first saying that I don't necessarily have the same level of education that a lot of the people here. And so I would suggest a definition for the word equity and the word disparity. They're both used in this document. The name of the office sounds a little Orwellian to me, so I'm not quite sure what that means. But let's see. It sounds like a good idea, so I would probably be in support of it. I'm concerned as far as the systematic change and the root cause of the things that you're trying to address. It sounds like you have to have at least the three branches of government involved too, you know, and the jury acquittals and direct action piece and the media kind of all working in it and to make sure things that are going to work. Want to make sure that people get fed. You know, I don't know if that's going to happen through this office. That, you know, it's a big deal. That I know we started where it said 1 minute was remaining, so much for equity there, huh? A big piece that I've noticed in the city happens to be the Portland Development Commission, the PDC, and the tax increment funding, and how that seems to take taxes out of the community and spend it on these very concerns that people are trying to address here.
I need you to wrap up.
All right, the tax write-offs and the special grants. Okay, and I guess I'd say freedom to travel, and my friend Richard Koenig, who's in the Oregon State Hospital, trying to fight for people's rights and the freedom to travel, and a bunch of other stuff here. I'll submit my testimony in some way. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. D. Welcome. You're our last speaker tonight.
Last and least. Oh, well.
Save the best for last.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. I think there's no doubt after tonight that a broad swath of the Portland community sees this Office of Equity as a way to take a big step past good intentions to data-driven solutions to problems of equity in Portland. I know I've talked to all of you about equity issues at various times, and I know none of you want to say no to the amazing amount of work that went into producing this resolution, to the incredible talent we saw tonight, and the incredible passion. I know none of you want to say no to that. I do want to tell you that if you vote against this resolution because, you know, it's not the right time or you have some problems with the structure, people are going to hear that as no. And I really urge you, what people want from you is to vote yes on this and take it forward and make it work. I really want to encourage you to do that and take advantage of the incredible talent and passion to help with that you heard in this room tonight.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. So, as I said at the beginning of the evening, this, unless there are objections on council, this continues to 11 a.m. on the 21st of September. Between now and then, we will be working with our colleagues. You've given us a lot to think about, which I know I certainly appreciate. I think, you know, everyone else does up here. I'd offer the opportunity for any thoughts to summarize before we adjourn.
I think it's important to do that. As I said earlier, I didn't say this earlier, but I'm going to add to my remarks of earlier. I've been in politics a long time. I've served in the Oregon Senate, the Oregon House, the city council now for 9 years and have been involved politically my entire adult life, born and raised in Portland. This has been the most unique lobbying effort I have ever been exposed to. As I said earlier, the city council has already done what most groups try to get us to do. We've already funded the Office of Equity. We've also funded the Human Relations Office. So totally, we have dedicated past, all five of us, over $1.2 million for both of those efforts. So what was needed for us to come together as a council to support a proposal was a consensus over how it was organized. And no, it didn't have to be detailed. And a lot of us have been around long enough to know that you don't have to have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. What you needed fundamentally was three people to say, yes, that looks like a good structure. Let's move forward. So why hasn't that happened? I can only speak for myself. Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fish are more than capable of speaking for themselves. For myself, over the last 5 or 6 months, I have made repeated efforts in writing and in person to try to create a structure that merges the Office of Human Affairs with the new Office of Human Relations with the new proposed Office of Equity. It seems to me, if we were listening closely to Representative Frederick's here earlier tonight, and one of the members of the Human Relations Commission, that those of us who sat here in 2007 and voted to create the Human Relations Commission and the Office of Human Relations believed then that that work was important to create a dialogue in the city on matters of race, for immigrants, and for people who felt discriminated against. We felt strongly enough that we voted unanimously in 2007 to do that. A lot of us also believe that the Office of Equity is not opposed to the stated mission of the Human Relations Commission, but rather is not only complementary to, but is a powerful addition to it. So for me, it doesn't make sense to hire a director for the Office of Human Relations and a director for the Office of Equity. You should have a director for the Office of Human Relations and Equity, and then hire staff with the $1.2 million we have allocated that more efficiently address issues of discrimination, of dialogue between different communities. Why rent two offices? Why pay two light bills? Why pay two directors for small offices when you can hire one to do the same thing? That has been my goal from the beginning of this discussion. It is why I voted to approve the money to allocate it, but why I refuse to agree to the structure that it was as it's being proposed here tonight as a standalone entity that is apart from, and for some people in the community who weren't here tonight, feeling opposed to the goals of the Human Relations Commission. I feel strongly enough about my vote in 2007 to sit here and tell you tonight I won't vote for this the way it looks tonight because it isn't as good as it can be. And I wrote down what Representative Frederick said because I thought it was worth repeating, and I got an exact quote. It is important to me that it be done well, not just done. So when this is done, I'll vote for it. It's not done yet, and I look forward to the next few weeks to try to make it better.
Any final thoughts? We're done with the testimony. I'm going to have you go last.
Okay.
I'm going last.
You're going last? Okay. Would you go? Do you have anything to say?
No.
Okay. Commissioner Fish?
First, I want to thank the 200 people who took time tonight to come out and be part of this hearing and to testify. This has been one of the biggest groups we've ever had in an evening session, and I think the testimony has been passionate and thoughtful and constructive. But I want to echo a couple things that Commissioner Leonard said, because I felt there was some substantial misunderstanding coming into this forum. And because I believe that we need to come together around these issues, I don't think it's useful to begin this process by having fundamental misunderstandings. All five members of this council voted to fund the Office of Equity in the budget. And Randy said that, and I, you know, it's been put out there as a, sort of a matter of fact, but that was the fundamental question we dealt with in the budget, and there was no dissent. And I don't remember that being acknowledged by anyone during the course of the evening. All five members of this council have in different forums and different settings, including meeting with some of the advocates, and I've met with lots of advocates on this, lots of very productive meetings with people, have talked about their support for equity. Not just a concept, but doing it in an intentional way. I don't actually remember that being reflected in any of the testimony of many of the people I visit have visited with me, and I've shared with them that my goal is to get to yes and get to a sustainable yes. So I just want the record to be clear on that. All five commissioners up here are in their own different ways working to implement equity agendas in their bureaus. Now, that is different than saying, are they coordinated, aligned, and as effective as they could be? That's not my point. I'm not saying that's adequate. Mitch, we've had that conversation behind closed doors. I get the fact that it has to be intentional and consistent and structural. I get that. But I also think it's worth observing that there's a lot of interesting and important work going on in all the bureaus. I actually didn't see that in the slide, page 7 or 8 of the slide. I saw some. I didn't see any bureaus. And I can tell you that there is a lot of good work that was not reflected on that. And so I think that record needs to be complete and it needs to be updated and revised, including not just bureaus. How about advisory boards to bureaus like the Parks Board that took on equity with Nicole Maher's leadership and came up not only with a definition but a whole plan? That needs to be acknowledged because that work's important. It may fall short of the standard we're trying to achieve through this process, but that's a citizen-led effort. I would like to acknowledge that. I think the record should reflect that. The thing that I haven't been here, Randy and Sam and Dan can point to, you know, 20 years each of public service in different capacities. Okay, so I'm Amanda and I are the newest. I can point to 3 years. But one thing about our work that I always find there's this inherent tension. People come before us and say, let's move beyond good intentions. I agree with that passionately. People come before us and say, make it work. I believe that passionately. People say, I hope your talk is followed by action, and I passionately believe in that. But sometimes I've noticed on the tough issues, people are critical of us as a body if we take a little extra time to get it right. And as a legislator, I have to tell you, that can be frustrating because it's almost as if in saying we need to take a little more time to get it right, people are questioning our motives, as opposed to seeing that additional effort as underscoring what they are telling us from the beginning, which is get it right. We had this come up when we did the Joint Terrorist Task Force debate. We had it on permit consolidation. We had it on police oversight. There were people who said, you know, it's time to act. You know, you do it yesterday. I deeply appreciate the notion of this fierce urgency of now. For 20 years, I was a civil rights lawyer before I had the honor of doing this job. And I know from my own work many of the issues and barriers that have been identified in the testimony. But I, as a legislator, frankly, have never found, I have never really subscribed to the notion that on certain issues, they're too important to get right and take the time to get it right. And I want to just say something about my colleagues, because I think this gets lost sometimes perhaps in the media coverage. The kinds of discussions that we have as colleagues about these issues are discussions I think you would all be proud of if you were in the room and you were listening, because they are substantive and they are intentional and they are based in the work and shared values, but they are also part of our process. If the people in Portland want to change the charter and go to a strong mayor and a bicameral council, fine, or if you want to eliminate all of us and go to a city manager, fine. But as long as you have the five of us, as the five of us serving as a legislative body, you do get the benefit of five different experiences, five different approaches. And I find it a privilege to be involved in discussions with my colleagues about these issues. And I I approach this work with humility. And when I sit down with Commissioner Fritz and she says, you know, Nick, you've got it wrong. I want to hear another perspective. I find that very useful. And likewise with my other colleagues. So I just don't want to shortchange that process. And I think sometimes people think, well, you know, put it in the oven and get it out as quickly as possible. But sometimes when we cook it just a little more, we get to the kind of unanimity that the community is asking for, and we get to the kind of sustainable long-term outcomes that people are looking for. Now, in my conversations with a number of you privately, I've heard consistent themes. You've asked that we be clear in our purpose and our mission. This council is committed to making sure there's clarity of purpose and mission. You have said that this needs to be sustainable. This cannot just be launched and then allowed to fail. So be intentional and make sure it's sustainable. And a number of you have raised profound questions about how this interacts with the Office of Human Relations. Now, that's a big question, and I have to tell you that I have had some very interesting views expressed to me by people in this room, but all privately, and many under a request that that not be part of the public dialogue. People have different views on this, principled views, and I've been hearing them. And I respect all those views. But one of the things we have to grapple with is how do these two entities come together? And is there a way in structuring this where both can be strengthened, both can be more successful? Because we're committed. This council supported both unanimously, or a prior council, the other unanimously. So I want to share that because it sometimes concerns me that people think that a deliberative democratic process with committed people is somehow betraying the cause. And I actually think it honors the cause. I actually think that serious people spend extra time to get it right because they want it to be right for the long term, not just right at a forum when we all want to certainly take a bow. And so that is what in the next 3 weeks we will set our minds to. And I've heard a lot of testimony tonight. I've taken a lot of notes. I want to absorb it, and I want to think about it, and I want to think about how it impacts the final product, and I want to sit down with the two leaders who, but for their efforts, we would not be at this point, and I want to hear their thoughts. And ultimately, I want to come back at the end of the September with something that we can all support. And I think we are ever so close. But please do not confuse some disagreements about some of the details and some principled issues that have been raised with somehow a collective lack of will or somehow a lack of understanding of equity and the need to act. I think that would be a disservice to this process if we began it by making that assumption. I want to thank my colleagues for the work that they've done on this, particularly the mayor and Commissioner Fritz, and I really want to thank the public tonight who's enlightened us about how to think about this work going forward.
Well, I want to thank everybody for their testimony tonight, and I just want to say that, if I felt the Office of Equity could really solve all the problems cited here tonight, there'd be no disagreement. We'd be voting for this hands down. But the truth is, an Office of Equity can do some things, and I want to make sure it does some things. I don't want to see it become a debating club. I don't want to see it become a film series, brown bags, dialogues with the community, which is a very small sliver. I want to see it accomplish tangible things, and yes, money matters. Many of the people who testified tonight also come at budget time and ask for money for their organizations. Office of Neighborhood Involvement, Elders in Action, Asian Family Center, I believe. Money does matter. This is not one time, simply $500,000. It's $500,000 a year ongoing. So I totally associate myself with the remarks of Commissioner Leonard. I'm not going to support two small offices, an Office of Human Relations with three people and a salary to a director of 100 plus thousand, and then turn over and support a separate Office of Equity of maybe two people and a director getting a $100,000 plus salary. No. It's got to be integrated into one cohesive management unit, one director, and that's, basically my bottom line. I'm not going to support two offices. To me, there is not a dime's worth of difference between the Office of Human Relations and the Office of Equity. And yes, money matters, and that's important to me. So I just want to let you know. But I think we'll get there, but I'm just being, that's where I am right now.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Fritz?
Well, first, thank you to everybody who has been here all evening with us. Thank you for your very compelling testimony. Thank you for all of your work over decades, in many cases, on this huge problem. And I think we heard in testimony why it is such a huge problem, or that it still is a huge problem. We're hearing from my colleagues why it's so difficult to get to some of the solutions. And I will point out that although $525,000 was allocated in the budget, there was a budget note that said that only $100,000 could be spent on this project until this ordinance is passed. So I feel a great sense of urgency to get working on the actions, to get the equity lens defined, to get this office going. And I did not hear anybody say that the ordinance before us tonight, I didn't hear any amendment requests to that ordinance. And that's pretty amazing considering how far we've come since February when the mayor announced it in his State of the City speech. There was a lot of disagreement and a lot of discussion about the broad scope. Yeah, we're not going to be solving the problems of hunger in the city of Portland with this initiative. We're not going to be solving a lot of the problems, and it's going to take us a long time to even begin to solve some of them. I think the testimony tonight showed that if we make even the tiny start, that would be a good thing, and it'll be a good thing economically as well as socially and morally. So we are going to continue this work, and I believe that what I've heard tonight is that this ordinance is a good foundation for the Office of Equity, that it defines what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, the research that's gone into putting it together, the action items from the Portland plan. It seems like we're pretty much good to go on that piece of it. The part that has come up in the last 2 days has been the notion of what about the Office of Human Relations. And I will note that two testifiers talked about that tonight. One of them said, keep the Office of Human Relations and have it serve the Human Rights Commission. The other one said that the director of this new office might be in a new function. That's a lot of a difference. So I'm going to need to go back to the creation committee and ask for input on how that could be done. But let me be clear, the Human Rights Commission has not said that it wants to be associated with the Office of Equity, it wants to be part of the Office of Equity, or that it wants to be staffed by the Office of Equity. If we really value the Human Rights Commission, which I do, I believe that they have a say in their destiny and who staffs them, how they're staffed, and what their relationship to this new office is. This new office, the functions of it are internal, the way it's been defined. And in the frequently asked questions that we put forth earlier this week, I envisioned coming back later in the fall, after we've given the Human Rights Commission the courtesy of the time to help decide how they want to be staffed and how they want to proceed, to come back later with a separate ordinance to define what happens with the Office of Human Relations and with the Human Rights Commission. I'm hearing from the other members of the council that they would like to have that done sooner. It's certainly worth taking the time to get it right. And also, if we don't move on the Office of Equity soon, it cannot be successful in this fiscal year. It's got a very ambitious work plan that we have identified, and if we can't get started on that by starting to hire the director and starting to get the staff in the office, I mean, let's be clear, we have no Office of Equity right now. Until we pass this ordinance, the funding is in the line item of the budget, but there is no Office of Equity. There's no authority for me to start hiring a director. So these are some of the practical issues that the council will be having discussions with. I will be having discussions both with the Human Rights Commission and with the Creation Committee and anybody else who wants to give input on this. We will try to do it as expeditiously as possible, so we're going to need to get started on that soon. This work is too important, and we will be, throughout this process, taking one step at a time. So to me, it makes sense to do this step and then see where the next. I'm hearing that there isn't support on the council for that, and so I accept that reality. I think that the work of the Creation Committee and the community has come up with a really fine plan for the Office of Equity, and so we can now build on that and see how is other work going to be incorporated. I'm trusting the community. I'm so proud to be part of this community. I'm so proud to be sitting up here as a representative who came from the Neighborhood Association as an immigrant, the only woman on the city council, the seventh woman in 160 years. We've had two people of color in this 160 years. And I really appreciate that everybody, including the other four members of the council, are truly committed to getting this right and to moving forward with it. I think, though, that we need to listen to the community and that we need to be responsive to the community, and that when we have worked so hard on defining a plan that I, as Ms. Detail-Oriented Person, think is the right step-by-step method to get there, I'm going to need some input from others and some work with the Human Rights Commission and other entities to figure out how do we do something different in 3 weeks.
No, it's not over yet, Ms. Harris. Fundamentally, what I heard tonight from the public was that this is a priority and that the notion of moving forward with both an internal and external effort is supported. What I heard from other members of the City Council is that moving forward in a single effort of launch as opposed to a two-step effort of launch is of interest. And, you know, fundamentally, that can be very positive. We have to figure out the future of the Human Rights Commission in terms of how its work is staffed and what it focuses on. And I think after the years that it has been in place, we know better, and the folks that have been on it know better about, you know, what it inherently is good at, and based on early hopes, what hasn't turned out necessarily. And that is, but I think it's very worthwhile, and I heard support, I think, from folks up here to continue that, the commission, in some form or fashion. So it might be hard to interpret the comments, but I'm going to interpret them as the opportunity to move forward faster on this by waiting and taking your testimony and working with everyone to move forward. So thank you all very much for your patience. Very eloquent testimony. Thank you for everyone who's been part of the creation committee. I want to thank my staff, Lisa Libby, and Khalid Ladd, and Dan Anderson, who will continue to work on this as well. We are adjourned.